Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning. Come on in. Pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller, friends, and we are thrilled to welcome you into the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Morning.
You're going to have to share that with the rest of us.
Okay.
Your chuckles. You start us with a prayer.
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another day. We thank you for your goodness and your blessings, the ways that you sustain us and love us. Lord, we ask that you just bless our conversations today, our works today, to draw closer to your sacred, most merciful, loving heart. Lord, we just want to dive more and more into your divine life, to come to know you not just as friend, but an intimate lover as well. We thank you for all the ways that you are working in and through our lives, and we offer all of our joys and sacrifices to you. And we offer those who have asked for our prayers, all their needs and intentions. We pray for our church, our community, and our families. And we pray all this in the intercession of Mama Mary. And in the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This weekend, the Columbus Diocese will observe Safe Haven Sunday. So Liz Christie from the Office of Evangelization will be with us to share all of the details. Then at about 8:20, our friend Emily Jaminet from the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network and WelcomeHisHeart.com will join us to talk about the connections between the Sacred Heart and Divine Mercy devotions. So, Amanda, you're especially bubbly this morning.
Am I? I'm just here.
Okay.
Doing my thing.
Doing your thing.
Here I am. You got a little nervous that I came to the table, the cafe, a little late.
Yeah, here we were.
Which I appreciated.
Yep. Yeah.
Keeping me on track.
Well, we were holding a chair for you.
Appreciate that. Yeah. I just wanted a little extra more time in prayer today. That's all.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Good. How are you doing, Cameron?
I'm doing well. I noticed that today is the feast of Saint Stanislaus.
That's right.
And I just think
Bishop
that's
and Martyr.
An awesome name. I was just talking with Bill Messerly, our executive director, yesterday. He asked me if Bailey and I keep a list of names for our future children, right? And I told him what I'm telling all of you now, that I constantly try to convince my wife of these, maybe what some people might call out there names for our son whenever we have a son someday, right? So I'm adding Stanislaus to the list. I think that's an awesome name.
Is Joachim on the list?
No, but Cincinnatus is.
Cincinnatus?
Yeah, he was a great Roman farmer, and they called him to be general, and then they tried to make him king, and then he said no, and he went back to his farm, and that's what Cincinnati is named after.
No way!
And I just think that'd be a great name for a boy, Cincinnatus.
Cincinnatus Clutter.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Would he be called Cincy?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead.
Do you have to think these things through?
Something like that. Anyways,
yeah,
wife has shot down every name that I've pitched to her so far. So I can't imagine Stanislaus will be received well either.
Bible is so full of fun names.
Agamemnon.
Yeah.
And our saints.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Stanislaus.
A wide array of possibilities. Well, Stanislaus would, Stan. Yeah.
That's normal.
Yeah.
People would think Stan is short for Stanley, but it's not.
You also have to keep in mind that the child will have to spell their name also. And children's handwriting can be quite large. So if they have to get it into a little right. space will be a challenge.
And that's actually really funny because my favorite is seeing when they start really large and then they get like halfway through the page and they realize, oh, I'm not going to have enough room. So it just starts shrinking and shrinking.
Comes or comes down the side of the page.
Right. Right. They just yeah. turn it acceptable.
The things you have to think of. Yeah, as you mentioned, today is Thursday, April 11th, the second week in the season of Easter, and it is the memorial of St. Stanislaus from Poland, bishop and martyr. Our gospel is from John chapter 3. We continue in chapter 3 today, verses 31 to 36.
The one who comes from heaven, the one who comes from above, is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Sorry, it's like in Mass, you know, when it's one of those horrible readings and it's like, and then, you know, the wrath of God came upon him. Amen. Thanks be to God. You know, it's like that was one of those moments just now.
But the wrath of God remains upon him.
Remains. Amen.
Thanks be to God. Yeah.
The line that stands out to me in today's scripture is, he does not ration his gift of the Spirit.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
He's saying, you know, this is accessible to you should you choose. I mean, talk about our free will, right? God in his infinite goodness does not force himself upon us, but opens himself up to us so that we can, you know, elect ourselves to that position. And he doesn't ration it. So he doesn't say, well, you're just like, you know, 40% a saint. So you only get 40% of the Spirit here. No, he doesn't ration it at all. It's all available to us. The Holy Spirit is available to us. I'm really excited for our series with Dr. Marlin beginning next Tuesday on the Holy Spirit, who is not rationed, and that's accessible. And I think sometimes it's easy to get down on ourselves and say, you know, oh man, I've been struggling with one sin or another. You know, woe is me. Maybe I just got to fix myself. No, like confession heals that. And then it's not like you're, you know, 99% back in the fold. You are 100% back in the fold. And I think that should just be encouraging to everybody.
Yeah. The rationing, it didn't click with me immediately, but thinking of, you know, the audience that the Lord was speaking with, they're probably a lot quicker than I am. They would go back to 2 Kings with Elijah and Elisha. So as Elijah's getting ready to be, you know, brought up to heaven, Elisha asks for a double portion of the Spirit. So, you know, two of the greatest prophets, Elijah and Elisha, didn't receive apparently the full portion. Or maybe they ask for double full. Two cups full of Spirit. I don't know.
Wait, so are you saying because that was the Old Testament and yet we've received like confirmation and the Holy Spirit? I'm not, okay.
Where I'm looking at with the Lord is telling him he has a full portion. Mm-hmm. So, you just think, yesterday we were talking just, you know, God is love. All he wants to do is love us. Mm-hmm. And now from his full portion to pour everything that he has from his heart into our hearts.
Yeah. The beauty of being adopted sons and daughters, right? That what is Christ also we have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I was also. Well, I'd say
he doesn't want to keep it to himself, right? I mean, right. That's love not the point of having it. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's encouraging for sure.
Most encouraging. I mean, when you look at those two options, the Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Mm-hmm. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. You know, two choices there. Are we going to receive, believe and receive, and have everything that God wants us to have, mm-hmm. just that outpouring of love that we can take and share with others? Or do you want the wrath?
No, thank you. I'll take a portion of the Spirit, please.
A banquet, you know, or a snack, you know.
Mm.
He's promising us abundance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something we can pray for, right? Continually, every day, Lord. Double portion, triple portion. Why not? Everything. Fill me up, Lord.
Supersize it.
Yeah.
Amen. This year, Safe Haven Sunday will be this Sunday, or this weekend, April 13th and 14th, throughout the Diocese of Columbus. Safe Haven Sunday this year will have a special focus on awareness and prevention of human trafficking. And joining us now is Liz Christie from the Office of Evangelization. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Dave and Amanda. How are you?
Good morning.
Wonderful. Tell us about Safe Haven Sunday.
Yeah, so Safe Haven Sunday is an initiative that Bishop Fernandez brought to our diocese last year. It was something he had done in his previous parish before becoming bishop, and he wanted to bring that to all of the Diocese of Columbus. So basically, Safe Haven Sunday is an anti-pornography awareness campaign. And so if you remember last year, he created a homily for all of our parishes, and it was shown at some parishes and also throughout social media of just kind of his take on what we need to do about this. And so we decided to bring it back again this year, and then he asked for a special focus on human trafficking. He had attended a conference last year and had some great resources, and he just wanted to highlight that this year as we go into Safe Haven Sunday, which is going to be this upcoming weekend, as you said, April 13th and 14th. And we just finished his video yesterday, so that will be shared on social media, parish emails, school communications throughout the weekend. So we're excited to get that out to everybody and create more awareness.
Will that be shown at Masses as well this year? Because last year, I think his homily was in all the parishes. Is that going to happen this year as well?
No. So last year it was just to introduce it to everybody, kind of widespread.
Yep.
Like, this is important, and mm-hmm. we all need to be aware of and help protect our children and families from the dangers of pornography. So now that we've set that precedent, now this year we're just going to share it outside of the Mass. And the priests for the weekend may include points in their homilies that he's given them.
Mm-hmm.
And some may choose to show his video at the parish, and that's fine as well.
Good. The document that came out from the Vatican this week, Dignitas Infinita, has an article. It's Article 41. That says human trafficking must also be counted among the grave violations of human dignity.
Yes. And so the timing of that was really interesting because we didn't obviously know that was coming out when we planned this weekend. So,
no, you didn't get a heads up.
We did not. So that we have a link to that document on the website. You can find all of the resources for Safe Haven Sunday if you go to columbuscatholic.org/safe-haven.
Dash Sunday. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Or just go to columbuscatholic.org.
You'll find it. It's right there. It has its own little icon. Yeah.
Fantastic. What else is happening in the Office of Evangelization?
Oh, well, as we talked the other week, we are gearing up for the National Eucharistic Procession coming through our diocese in June, and we just got some really exciting news this week. You ready for this?
Yes.
So, buckle up.
Okay.
You're hearing it here first, people. Yep.
Okay. The priest that is leading the procession through Columbus, well, through our entire procession, the Seton procession through the whole East Coast, he has his 25th anniversary of his ordination on one of the nights of the procession.
How special.
So we get to celebrate a special mass in addition to the special mass we're already doing for the pilgrimage. We get to celebrate his anniversary. So
excellent. I bet there'll be cake
about that. Yeah.
Dave will be there. There's cake.
All right, Dave.
That's awesome. What a gift to be able to celebrate with him. Can you say which diocese he's from?
Well, I would if I knew that right now, but I do not, so it'll have to be a surprise.
My point is he's away from home.
Our missionaries soon.
Yeah, my point is he's away from home, so it's nice that Columbus can do something special for him on his anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what a way to commemorate 25 years of being a priest. He is going to travel from May until July with Jesus in a van and stopping at all of these amazing locations. Mm. So exciting.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us this morning, Liz. We're grateful for all the work that you do and letting us know about Safe Haven Sunday. The website, again, friends, is columbuscatholic.org. Safe Haven Sunday information is right there on the homepage, as well as all the great things that Dr. Marlin and Liz and their team are working on for evangelization in our diocese. So thanks, Liz.
All right. Have a great day.
God bless you. Coming up in just a minute or two, we're going to be joined by Emily Jaminet. Emily is the co-author with Michelle Fanley of Divine Mercy for Moms. And we're going to be talking about some of the connections between Divine Mercy and the Sacred Heart Devotion. So stay with us. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Cafe.
A prayer for Ohio. Ever-living God, you give life and desire a future for all of your children. Take hold of our nation, state, and community, and awaken in every heart awe for the gift of life. Send your Spirit to strengthen us with wisdom and fortitude as we defend mothers and children in Ohio from laws that disregard their health and safety. Mary and Joseph trusted in you and welcomed Jesus into our broken world. Father, we ask their intercession to protect the preborn and their mothers and to guide all parents in raising their children. May they help us build a civilization of love by upholding the sacredness of life, preserving parental rights, and walking with pregnant women in need. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady, Mother of the Family, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Protector of the Unborn, pray for us.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of prayerfulness is seen in Saint Dominic. He lived prayerfulness heroically by giving his whole self to God in prayer. Dominic knew that our bodies can help us to pray. He often incorporated his body in prayer by kneeling, bowing, and raising his hands up to God. He expressed a wholehearted attentiveness in his posture and actions while he worshiped God. Let us ask Saint Dominic to pray for us, that we may grow in prayerfulness. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Do you look in the mirror and think, I am wonderfully made? Do you ever ponder in prayer that you are made in the image and likeness of God? If you answered no, like I did, how can we change that? We can praise God for sending His only Son to take on human flesh. The incarnate Word understands intimately the joys and struggles of our human lives. We can give thanks for this physical body, which is the vessel that enables us to be Christ's hands and feet in the world. We can also ask God to give us what matters most, spiritual strength. From Isaiah chapter 40, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us, body, mind, and soul. Help us to live, love, and move with joy, knowing that we are wonderfully made in your image and likeness. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Worthborn, and in the cafe now is the head honcho over at the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network and welcomeheart.com. Head honchus.
Is that a professional title?
Is that on your card, Emily?
No, that's definitely not on my card. But I mean, I'll tell the kids about my newest title.
Run with it. Emily Jaminet, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. What a joy. You know, I think about the many years ago when I first sat here in the studio, just wanting to better live out my Catholic faith as a young mom. And now, just many years later, you know, still working on my spiritual life. So, Dave, you know, it's always a journey. We were talking about that earlier this morning, that it doesn't stop. But the gift of our Catholic faith is we get to go deeper and deeper. And so I think it's a beautiful conversation that we get to talk about the heart of Christ, divine mercy, Sacred Heart, and applying it to our life.
Yeah, and with today's gospel, too, just that... that overflow, that abundance of love that that the Lord wants to fill us with, you know, from His overflow. You co-authored, Emily, Divine Mercy for Moms with our mutual friend, Michelle Fanley. What did, as you guys were putting this book together, you're approaching it with our friend Faustina. Was this before you got really involved with the Sacred Heart?
Yeah, isn't
devotion?
That interesting? It was
so Divine Mercy came earlier
Divine Mercy
for you.
Came before. Uh-huh. And it was really this longing and wanting to better live out my Catholic faith and showing mercy to my children, to others, living a more authentic life. So Divine Mercy for Moms was kind of like, what does motherhood look like? Being the hands and feet of Christ, you know, and applying the spiritual works of mercy, the corporal works of mercy, and understanding what needs to change, and it's our heart. And then this beautiful journey of seeing my parents' faith and going deeper into this other devotion, which is the Sacred Heart devotion, and understanding that we're talking about the same heart. From His heart flows charity, mercy, grace, love. You know, it all pours forth. So it's really humbling. It's really a gift. It's a journey. And to see that I'm still at it many years later.
Yeah. Still at it.
Still at it, people.
Well, Emily, how did you first hear about Divine Mercy or the Divine Mercy devotion? And what did it start to spark in you?
Well, it's interesting. Michelle and I remember one day we were sitting and talking about how both of us were greatly impacted by visiting the convent of St. Faustina in Poland.
Oh, so you did
that? Yeah, we did do that. Both 1 year apart, around the same time, we were doing a study abroad program and really reflecting on the gift of some of these spiritual pilgrimages, the gift of this pilgrimage before we are moms. And now it's like, okay, we got to live this. Mm. You know, what does it look like to live it in your vocation? And so it was really amazing to be able to put together a book, having no idea that it would branch into so many other works of mercy. Because Michelle would say as well, you know, the greatest work of mercy, for example, is a women's conference. You know, that's a great example that where people come together and serve. So that's one of the areas that she continues to stay so heavily involved in. And for myself, you know, that journey of now really focusing on getting the heart of Christ in every home, getting people to do the enthronement, getting people to go deeper, because it's not a white knuckle experience as Catholics. We need our hearts to change. We need to eliminate the stones, the pebbles, the blocks that prevent us from responding to the invitation of love.
Emily, speaking of the need for changing hearts, when I went to Franciscan University, I did their study abroad program to Austria, and I was still in the midst of taking the faith on as my own and learning to live it out. And Franciscan was a great gift because I was able to see that acted out. And actually, Divine Mercy Sunday was the first I had ever heard of that when I was in Poland at the convent where Faustina was. And so I was hearing all about it and I had no idea. And we were going to be there around Divine Mercy Sunday. And they had all these little tents set up for priests to be there and to do confessions. And so I remember hearing about the promise of Divine Mercy, specifically on Divine Mercy Sunday, that the sinner who repents, you know, goes to confession and then receives communion in a state of grace, complete remission of sins and punishment. And I just remember like my mind being blown and thinking, are you serious? This is like almost similar to being baptized again. This is a fresh slate, you know, and for someone who is trying to maybe be reconverted and come into the faith, that was such a special grace for me.
That's really, really powerful. And I think about the definition of divine mercy. One definition is when God meets us and helps us in the midst of our suffering and sin. You know, everything good we receive is an expression of divine mercy. So we don't deserve it, right? God, it's just a free gift. And then what do we do with that gift is the action forth. And St. Faustina also said, I give you three ways of exercising mercy towards your neighbor. First by deed, second by word, and the third by prayer. So when I read that and I remember, you know, talking to Michelle about that, that was an invitation to not just receive the gift and grace of mercy, but then to share it. And then what does that look like in the life of your vocation and everyday life? And doing these good works, serving is, I tell you, it will bring you more joy, more peace, more purpose than you ever could imagine. So even though Divine Mercy Sunday has passed, you know, I hope that for the listener, it's the new beginning of how do I express in deed, word, and prayer. And when St. Faustina said that, I remember thinking like, wow, I thought she'd say prayer first, you know, deed, what, you know, I have to do. But how many times is it the little tiny acts in our conversion that somebody did for us that changed us, you know, the smile, the meal when we don't deserve it, you know, the, I just see it in the life of my vocation all the time.
Make the connection then in your journey, Emily. So you're first exposed to, or really discovering the graces of divine mercy, I guess it, because I know your family history also. So you had heard of the Sacred Heart, obviously, but I would, from what you've said, your exposure and your devotion to divine mercy then led to a deeper, I guess is the right way to say it, a deeper discovery of the Sacred Heart. Well, how did that happen?
Yeah, going back to the heart, right? Because in divine mercy, I think what's very beautiful is that the heart is covered up and the two rays pour forth out of the heart. But when you look at the Sacred Heart image, you know, there is no barrier. The heart is literally outside the body. And you think about 350 years ago, the invitation that Jesus offered to St. Margaret Mary and to each one of us to respond to his love. And so I remember one Sunday afternoon, you know, many, many times my parents would talk about the Sacred Heart and the ministry and the apostolate here in Columbus. And I said, Mom, I'll do a little article for you for the Catholic Digest. I was writing for them at the time. And I'm like, this is a great story to tell. And I remember thinking it was just going to be a story to tell, you know, and then, oh, I'll do a little interview. I'll put together this article for them. But it never stopped. And that's the invitation for each one of us, that you can go deeper and deeper, and then reading the diary and then saying, oh, I think we got to write a book on these 12 promises. And I think we need to, you know, most recently change our behavior, not just, you know, absorb these 12 promises, but like, I have to change. I have to relate to people differently. I need to, you know, live the gospel in a way in which my heart is on fire for the Lord. And thus I go forth. And I also think that my conversion began simultaneously with a season of burnout, because if you can't white knuckle, you can't just do and you know, be pulled together on the outside. And I remember this one night, I just went before my Sacred Heart image, and I was just like, Jesus, you get everything. You get the marriage, the children, the future, all of it. And I just remember this moment of peace and like, okay, you know, there you go. And who would have ever thought that this would be where I'd be, you know, 8-10 years later. So it's a journey. Mm-hmm. And I bet each one of our listeners and each one of us can, like, you know, Amanda was saying, remember a pinpoint, you know, and a lot of times graces are poured out and you don't realize the grace was even being received that day. It's like, oh, that was good. That was like mm-hmm. a glass of water of mercy. But it's so significant looking back. That's what I've realized about the life of faith.
For our friends that may not be familiar with the two devotions, we're speaking with Emily Jaminet from Sacred Heart Enthronement Network and welcomeusheart.com. So, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque is, what, bow all the way back into the mid-1600s, right? Tell us a bit of her story and the how she encountered the Sacred Heart.
Well, they're both just beautiful stories to start out. They had a lot of parallels, but St. Margaret Mary received a vision of Jesus where he appeared to her in 1673. And what's amazing is that the culture and the time of France when he revealed himself to her was a time of Jansenism, where many people felt a sense of unworthiness to receive the love of God. So they weren't, for example, they weren't receiving communion every week because they just didn't feel worthy. So there were a lot of barriers to the faith. It was a very like season of coldness to the faith. It wasn't the warmth that Jesus wanted to express to first her and to others. When he appeared to her, he called her the disciple of the Sacred Heart. He actually gave her an official title when he first revealed. And then he also revealed the words, you know, behold this heart, which loved mankind so much, but in return receives ingratitude, coldness, and even talked about the sacrilege that's gone against mankind, against the Eucharist. So it was an invitation for us to, first for St. Margaret Mary to respond with acts of reparation, of first saying, you know, I'm here, Lord, I want to respond to you, I want to love you. And then that message has trickled out to each one of us to saying, like, how do we respond to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? How do we respond to his love? And also, there are many promises associated. You can open her diary. You can read the letters of St. Margaret Mary. And you can just, again, see this beautiful language of love, an invitation to respond to that love. And when you read the diary, there's put together since then the 12 promises. So the 12 promises are a summary of many more promises mm-hmm. of what it looks like to have a life of faith, of trust, of desiring holiness. I like to call it like a roadmap forward. And it's still applicable 350 years later.
Yeah. Oh, and then from the late 1600s to the early 1900s with St. Faustina, a sister, a religious sister in Poland, who was also kept a diary.
Everybody keep a diary. I think that's the lesson.
That's
write
the key.
Things down.
But so then the Lord visits St. Faustina with a very similar message.
Yes, very similar. She was born in actually 1905. She came from a very poor peasant family in Poland near the Russian border. She was the third of 10 children. Originally, her name was Helen. And her family worked really, really hard. She was, you know, deprived in education, not because she was naughty. She had about only 3 years of a formal education, but because the family needed her to work. That was very important to help and to assist. So she only spent a few years in formal school, but yet, you know, you can read her 600-page diary about ongoing about Jesus, you know, when he revealed his love, he revealed the image of divine mercy, this message, this invitation of sharing it, the feast of divine mercy. We can learn about just different aspects of what mercy looks like. And yet we see so many parallels because again, mercy is, we don't deserve it, but he offers it to us. And and you think about then what would come shortly, less than a year after she dies, is the invasion and mm-hmm. the beginning of World War II. So thinking of her as a forerunner to the amount of healing that needs and continues to take place in our society as it's pliable, but also in a very specific way for the Polish people, initially to seek mercy for, and as we pray that for ourselves and the whole world. So it's really an invitation of conversion.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And the beauty of, like you said, Emily, the Jansenism that was happening during that time, and then Jesus revealing his sacred heart and desiring us to come to know actually the love of his heart. And I really appreciate you quoting Jesus's words there, in return that he receives in gratitude and coldness. And doesn't that just hurt your own heart? And think about, you know, that's still in our world today, you know, the ingratitude and the coldness, and our reparation can be, okay, Lord, reveal your heart to me and let me love. I want to love you and receive your love.
Well, and I'm thinking about too, even if I had to pick a couple words to sum up the past couple hundred years, right? When you're looking at things like World War II, World War I, the Cold War, and then even today, you know, you look at what's going on in Russia and Ukraine or in the Middle East and things like that. Talk about ingratitude and coldness toward one another as well. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of these is what you're doing to me. It really paints the picture, right? And so I just have this like image. I know God's outside of time, but, you know, he reveals his sacred heart and really like gives that devotion, that apostleship to St. Margaret Mary. And then, you know, a couple hundred years later, it's, I imagine God, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit sitting up there in heaven like, man, what more can we show to them and give to them just to draw them closer to us? Something that's always stuck with me in St. Faustina's story too is, despite that like ingratitude, that coldness, that wounding of God's heart that we give to him, he said to St. Faustina that he does not desire to destroy, the world, destroy man, to restart. I'm remembering that in St. Faustina's diary, one of the most impactful things for me when I read it was, she talks about how she had this image of the angel of death, like swinging its sword at the earth. And when she prayed that prayer for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world, it stayed the sword, you know, of the angel of death. And that's what the Lord's saying, like, you know, this highway of mercy, you know, that he's opened up and saying, listen, like, you may have wounded me, you may have killed me on the cross, you may continue to wound me, yet my mercy still, you know, flows from my heart. That image that Faustina has of the two rays coming down. And where does it draw us to, right? I think of when you take a shower, nobody turns on the shower head and then lays in the bottom of the tub and says, this is a good shower, right? You want to be as close to the source of the water as possible to get as like clean as you can, to get as, you know, the fullness of it as you can. It's the same thing with the rays of divine mercy. Where are they leading you? Back to his heart too. That you don't like sit at Jesus's feet and just like lay there and be like, yep, this is enough mercy for me. If it were me, and it is in my case, I want to be as close to that as possible. And like I said, where does that lead you? But back to his sacred heart, his heart full of mercy, his heart full of charity.
I love this quote from St. John Paul II from his homily on Divine Mercy Sunday in 2001. St. John Paul II says, the heart of Christ, his sacred heart, has given men everything. Redemption, salvation, sanctification. St. Faustina saw coming from his heart that was overflowing with generous love, two rays of light, which illuminated the world. And it also calls to mind then, I think, Emily, in the 12th promise of the Sacred Heart, there's an expression there talking about his excessive mercy. I mean, these are superlatives, right? Mm-hmm. It's not half portion, quarter portion. It's abundance and excessive love and mercy.
Well, and being willing, you know, I was thinking about the readings as we started this segment, you know, with the daily readings today, according to John, and talking about the one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. And both devotions elevate us, you know, out of the secularism of the world to see that, you know, our little prayers matter. You know, for the sake of His sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on our whole world. To me, that first word, us, you know, who is my us? Who needs mercy in our life? Who are my people? And making sure that we're rooted in prayer, and then we go forth. But it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And this will change your life. And hopefully your life is changed. The people around you are changed. It's this ripple effect of grace and peace. And I'm just like, wow, we're just scratching the surface mm-hmm. of conversion when you look at what's being offered to us.
And He wants us to come to Him, because in some of the quotes from the Diary of Faustina, focusing on our Lord's heart, He even says, "My daughter, your heart is my repose, right? My delightful dwelling place. My daughter, I want to repose in your heart, because many souls have thrown me out of their hearts." Like he so wants to be reposed in our hearts. It's not just like, oh, this would be good for you because you'll draw closer to Jesus. He's like, no, I yearn for this. It's a relational thing that He also wants.
And the beginning place is mercy, right? And then leads to friendship with His heart. And so, and for many of us, we have to remember that every person, Jesus wants to save everyone, you know? And so I think both devotions are such a powerful complement, and they lead us to a life of holiness. They lead us to conversion. They lead us to constantly be meditating on, because when you look at His perfect heart, you then think about your own heart and you're like, oh, I have some areas I need to work on. But at least we begin a sensitivity to it. Mm-hmm. So yes, let Him in your heart.
Yeah. Emily, as we're talking about the Sacred Heart and Divine Mercy, it seems apparent, right? It seems apparent, like, oh yeah, of course, this is Jesus's same heart, but we don't always talk about it in those contexts because we think of them as two separate devotions sometimes, but really the source is still one heart of Jesus. Did you have like an aha moment at some point of like, oh yeah, of course, this is the same heart? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you read, you know, as you mentioned, the quotes of St. Faustina and then St. Margaret Mary, it's an invitation for you to encounter the fullness and the richness of His love. And then, you know, for me, when we go to Mass and we say, and, you know, and we lift up our hearts, you know, we're lifting them up to the Lord, and then we receive Jesus, you know, in Holy Communion. I mean, there is so much going on there, the depths of, right, communion, Sacred Heart, Divine Mercy, like it's attributes, it's ways to relate to the Lord. And, you know, if you've ever fallen away from the Lord, sometimes the greatest barrier is ourselves saying like, I'm not worthy, right? And you've probably all talked to people where they're like, oh, if you only know what I've done, if you only knew the kind of person I used to be. And so to me, that Divine Mercy is receiving and then leading into that oneness with His heart. And it's funny because people say things all the time to me like, oh, I have Divine Mercy, I don't need the Sacred Heart. And I'm like, actually, you do. You need both. You know, you need His mercy and you need His love. And so don't, you know, experience the fullness, the richness of our faith.
We're talking about the Sacred Heart and Divine Mercy with Emily Jaminet from the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network and WelcomeHisHeart.com. Emily, you've heard about holy reminders, right?
Yes.
I think that's a term that your mom uses quite often.
Yes. We have many holy reminders in my house.
But how important those are. And let's talk about the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. And how having that image, as well as the images of the Immaculate Heart and the Divine Mercy image, serve as holy reminders, but also enthroning, the act of enthronement is so much more than just putting the image on the mantle.
I mean, 100% agree. The difference, there is a spiritual component that is so powerful when you allow the Lord into the messiness of your life, right? It's one thing, I love to say, like, it's one thing when you show up for Mass and you got your belt on and you look good and the family looks good and the kids' teeth are brushed and their hair looks great and they all sit there and they go to receive our Lord and they go to Mass. But what you find is the home. The home is where, you know, Jesus wants to conquer your home with love. Mm. The kingdom of love wants to be present in your home. And the enthronement is, you know, is an opportunity. As Amanda talked about experiencing Divine Mercy Sunday, you know, in the convent in Poland, like when you allow the enthronement to take place, it's almost like, Jesus, you're welcome here. Like, give us the order we need. Help our family. Give us grace. And it's significant. It's significant. It was significant in my own life and my own marriage. And I remember thinking, I'm a good person. I don't know if I need to really do this. Like, even though my parents were always inviting us to do this. And then I look back and see with different eyes, literally different lenses of the areas that needed to change so that our family more and more resembled the loving heart of Christ. Mm.
Do you hear it often, Emily, when people, you know, you talk about the Sacred Heart enthronement, that they say, oh, well, you know, I can't do that yet because I'm still getting my stuff together? I know for me and my wife, you can kind of tell the state of, like, our hearts and our mental health by the state of our house, right? If the living room and the kitchen are just a disaster, oftentimes that's telling of, like, hey, we need to work on something else too internally. Do you hear that often when people are like, oh, well, I'm still getting my stuff together, so I can't bring Jesus here yet until things are in order a bit more?
Yeah, it's interesting, the obstacles. One obstacle I've heard actually multiple times is like, I don't really know where I'd put the images. I mean, I just had my dining room redone, my family room, you know, remodeled, or da, da, da. I mean, it's like even that little hole in the wall was like an obstacle, you know? And so I think that this is an invitation. You have to see, like, this is an invitation, and the Lord promises to give us grace. He promises to give us peace. He promises to give us spiritual protection. And we've heard that from Monsignor Essif, talked about it. One of our, the oldest exorcists in the United States, wrote a book on the enthronement. Like, put Jesus king of your home so that order can follow. And a lot of times, there is a peace, there is an order that you can't even believe. And it's interesting because you think it's going to be like so much work, but it's really a prayer. It's less than 20 minutes of praying. And just like, you know, when we read in Revelations where he knocks on the door, you know, he's just wanting to come in. He's just wanting to come in. And how often do we keep him closed out from the real messiness and the real areas that he needs to minister to us?
I think in Jesus's mercy, I have a friend who often refers to those people that you can invite into your home, regardless of the state of your home, as peanut butter and jelly friends, right? What does that mean? It's people who, if you're having peanut butter and jelly for dinner, you can still invite them to come over, right? And I'm just struck by, like, Jesus's mercy when he's knocking on the door. He wants to, you know, make that repose in your heart. Sometimes we look at our home as the door is being knocked on and say, oh man, you know, like, I need to clean up really fast because Jesus is here and I wasn't expecting that. And so let me, you know, tidy things and, you know, throw the blankets in the corner and hopefully this place will be good for him. But his mercy says, no, I'm your peanut butter and jelly friend, Cam.
Yeah.
that Jesus wants to come regardless of the state of your home, regardless of what you're having for dinner, regardless of the state of your heart there. And that's what his mercy says too, I think, is that I don't care about the physical state of things. What I care about is that you're with me and that I'm with you, that you rest in my sacred heart and that I get to rest in yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we often forget that he loves every part of us, you know, even that sinful part, although, you know, let's go to confession and get those taken care of. But he also sees us in our brokenness and he understands that we're fallen and he wants to draw closer to us so as to give us the grace to overcome those. And we shouldn't be afraid of letting him into that.
And he wants to take our coldness and lack of gratitude and transform it. And one of the reflections that we all can meditate on every day is, you know, what does our home even feel like? And, you know, sometimes we can get so busy and accomplishing our goals, getting to work, getting the kids where they need to be, you know, doing that we forget that actually it feels cold here. It feels empty. There's anger in our home. There's resentment in our home. There's bitterness in our home. And the Lord doesn't want any of that. He wants his kingdom of love to reign there. So it's so attractive. And thus the torch of faith can be passed on to the next generation. And I would say the beginning for all this is also forgiveness. Mm. And it's beautiful to say, you know, beginning with, I'm sorry for the times that I have not expressed authentic love to my loved ones, to my family, to my friends. And it's an act of humility. And he tells us his heart is meek and humble. So I really recommend, you know, just spending some time in prayer. You know, where's my heart? What's going on in my heart? And also, what does my home even feel like? Does it have to be so perfect for anyone to even, as Cam said, walk in the door? Do I have so many barriers for people to even relate to me? Or am I going to fly off the handle because a glass of milk was spilled at dinner, you know? And this is our reality. So I just say, like, he reveals so that he can heal. He offers grace. No one is accepted, you know, exempt from this grace. It's us responding. We have to respond. So say yes. Say yes.
And that's why I just think these holy reminders, having these images are so important, because when that glass of milk does spill or the glass breaks and you glance over and you see the Sacred Heart image or the rays pouring out of the Divine Mercy image of Christ, it reminds you, of love and mercy and forgiveness, and that can all happen in a split second. So, with the enthronements, how many enthronements, Sacred Heart enthronements, have we done here in Columbus?
You know, it's interesting. Father Stosh Daly, we have a great video at Welcome His Heart on YouTube with the Bishop, Father Stosh Daly, and I have a couple other testimonies. It's about 23 minutes. But he alluded to about 4,000 locally. In the last 3 years, we've done...
That's amazing.
I know. In the last
locally.
3 years,
yeah.
Sacred Heart and Enthronement Network, we have done not the digital downloads. Like sometimes a parish will print it off and have their own, you know, but over 11,000 homes, you know, just giving their hearts to Christ. That, mm-hmm. to me, is amazing. And I wanted to just say one more thing, Dave, like, don't just have one image. Like, I have images all through my house. I have them in every bedroom. I have them in, you know, our prayer room. I have them in my family room. I have an image in my kitchen because I need I need more than just like one holy reminder.
Absolutely.
I need like so many holy reminders.
What a public witness this has become too in our diocese, because it's not only homes that are being enthroned, but also businesses and schools. So you walk into a business or you walk into your child's school and you see the Sacred Heart image, that really says something about the commitment of the people that work there. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you walk into a school and it's there's a peace there, knowing that this place is set apart for the heart of Christ.
We assisted with the enthronement where my children go to school at St. Andrew. In every classroom, there's an image. There's an image when you first walk in. You know, this is the language of love. And so, you know, I can't say enough about, like, enter in, you know, have an image that we all can be united. And we're not just saying this because I love when my dad says, it's not my idea. You know, it was Jesus's idea, because he actually asked for his image to be exposed and honored so that we can be blessed. I mean, that's one of the promises, exposing and honoring. So the whole world, all Catholics used to have this image. And I've talked to Catholics in India and Ireland and, of course, United States, Canada. This is an invitation to rediscover this beautiful act of enthronement, of having the images present. And if your school doesn't, you know, what we did is I just reached out to 10 families and said, hey, will you help subsidize this so that we can get this in all the homes? And then we gave images and enthronement materials to all the families. So it's as simple as that. And I was at a family's house the other day at our parish, and there was the image on the wall. You know, so it's like, this is how we change hearts and homes.
Mm-hmm. Thinking of specifically on the Divine Mercy image, also just the words, it, you know, like Chuck said, it's not my idea, you know, it's Jesus's. You know, the words that he gave to Faustina, Jesus, I trust in you. And what a holy reminder that is, you know, to glance at that image and just reminded, okay, yeah, Jesus in the messiness and the spilled milk and the broken glasses and the broken down car, the roofie leak, you know, the flooded basement, and all of this, Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.
Beautiful. Next steps, Emily, for somebody that's interested in enthroning their home or obtaining some of the images. I know we have some here at St. Gabriel Radio. How else can people
you
get them?
So you could come by the radio. You could see Dave and Amanda. You can get some materials here at St. Gabriel in Columbus. You also can visit welcomeheart.com. We have some right at the top. We have some videos, great videos, short videos explaining the enthronement. You can order materials. You can ask questions. You know, we'll get you all the. And the great news is, if I can't answer your question, I get your question answered. So if you have questions about Divine Mercy, about the Sacred Heart, you know, this is a great place. And know that we're also praying for you. We have a beautiful newsletter list, and we pray for everyone. We have monthly live rosaries. We have Mass intentions. You know, prayed for each month. We have personal prayer intentions, and our mission, our goal is that you expose and then you live a life of honoring.
Pro tip, they also make great graduation and wedding presents.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you go.
Welcomeheart.com or stop by here and visit us on Winterset Drive here in Upper Arlington. Stop into St. Gabriel Radio and we'd be more than happy to set you up.
So. Exciting.
Emily Jaminet. Welcomeheart.com, Sacred Heart Enthronement Network. Thanks for being in the cafe with us.
It's wonderful.
Also want to mention the book again that you co-authored with Michelle, Divine Mercy for Moms, as well as others. Where can they see the books?
So you can see all the books, everything at inspirethefaith.com. Also right at Ave Maria Press is our joint publisher. And it's fun. To be able to write books with friends and then to head on your own and write about the Sacred Heart. So
it's always
a joy.
You've blessed us. You've blessed us. Coming up tomorrow in the cafe, we have Father Adam Streitenberger from the St. Thomas More Newman Center. Buckeye Catholic will be with us to be talking about the responsibility that we have for Christian living. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.